Hey, y'all. Let's look at Luke chapter 9 today, starting in verse 1. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom and to heal. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics. And whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And wherever they do not receive you, when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. And they departed and went through all the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was happening, and he was perplexed, because it was said by some that John had been raised from the dead, by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others one of the prophets of old had risen. Herod said, John I beheaded, but who is this about whom I hear such things? And he sought to see him. So this is one of the first sendings of the apostles. In fact, the word that it uses, and he sent, is the word from which we get the apostles. This, is, of course, is the first in Luke, and it's not going to be the last, but it's a training, and it's a key training among the apostles. It's interesting, too, that we would assume that Judas was also given this authority, and that Judas cast out demons and healed the sick and proclaimed the kingdom. So it's important to note that the reason they're able to do what they do is not because they are virtuous necessarily themselves, but because Jesus gave them, as the text says, authority. When you are vested with authority, you have the ability to carry that out and the right, and in fact the duty, to carry that thing out. And so Jesus invests them with that authority and sends them out, and notice the things they're supposed to do. They have power over demons. They're supposed to cure diseases, to proclaim the kingdom, and to heal. I just want to focus for a minute, though, on the power over demons. C.S. Lewis said that we Christians tend to fall into one of two errors about demons, saying they don't exist or having an excessive fascination with them. And I think that holds largely true today. I don't think it is our typical thought to attribute a lot of the evil that we see in the world to the presence of the demonic. Of course, the presence of the demonic doesn't excuse humans for their sin, but the idea that there are beings who hate God and hate humans and want to do anything they can to thwart humans and thwart the purposes of God in humans is a very biblical and important idea. Most people today can't really explain why there's such terrible evil in the world. And the scriptures would explain it largely by the presence of evil forces. Think about even the origin of human sin doesn't come from humans, but it comes from the serpent who comes into the garden, who has already rebelled. And so it's significant that in Jesus' ministry, he saw the casting out of demons as an important preliminary to preaching of the gospel, to calling people to discipleship. And I think under this is the recognition that it's a very biblical idea to realize that if we willfully give ourselves to sin, we can eventually be so habituated to sin that we are taken over by it. That is a foothold of the enemy in our lives. And I think Jesus recognized that people can be so given over to the power of sin that they are helpless, and that he came to rescue them so that they could then follow the path of discipleship. And remember his warning that, you cast a demon out and they go and they wander through waterless places and they bring back seven demons stronger than them, and the last state of the house is worse than the first state. That's a warning. So at any rate, it's important to see that Jesus is the strong man binding the enemy so that he can proclaim the kingdom in the midst of people set free, so they can make a decision to become a disciple of Jesus or not. Notice also he tells the disciples to take nothing with them. Again, I think this is an important part of their training. It seems as though he's saying not so much as a backpack or maybe even a bottle of water, which is saying something in that part of the world. The point is they were supposed to show up in town most of them blue-collar men, and be totally unimpressive, but nevertheless carry the authority of God. And that was meant to teach them where the authority came from, and it was meant to show others that there was something extraordinary going on here, and indeed for that to be an important lesson about the kingdom of God. Notice also that Jesus doesn't assume, in fact, he says, if anybody doesn't receive you, or no, he says, whatever house you enter, let's see, and wherever they do not receive you. Jesus assumes people will not receive him. And he doesn't say, hey guys, you know, that's really terrible and you need to try to do something about it. Really stick around and persuade them. He says, no, if they don't accept you, move on, shake the dust off your feet as a witness against them, and go and find the people who will receive you and stay there until it's time to depart. So Jesus is forming the 12, even Judas, and these are important lessons there to learn, the power of evil and God's authority over evil and the necessity of not relying on their preparations, but on the authority that's given them. And then finally, notice that Herod, who had arrested John the Baptist, is kind of worried about this. The impression I get is of a guilty man with paranoia. We know he didn't respond positively to John's teaching. We know he gave in to the voice of his wife, or at least his stepdaughter, and did something terribly evil to a godly man. And so we see this man as a man who's kind of entrenched in patterns of sin in his life. In fact, we might even suggest that he's in the thrall of spiritual forces beyond his power. And he seems really undone, but not at a point of willing to repent. In fact, later, before he wants to see John, he's very interested in him, but he's also very disturbed by him. And I think this just shows an uneasy conscience, a conscience that has sin entrenched in its life, but is not willing to let go of it, and so is very fearful, looking for ghosts everywhere it goes. And he sought to see him, and I think it's significant that it was the disciples' work here. It doesn't tell us what Jesus did during this time, but it's the disciples' work that made Herod think that John the Baptist was around again. So thank God for the power over evil that he gives us, that Jesus came to set captives free and to break chains of sin, so that we could follow him in discipleship and be conformed to his image. Amen.